Kuf Lamed, Tehillim Perek Kuf Lamed, is probably one of the most well-known Prokim Tehillim in the entire Sefer. This Perek is often recited when people are in periods of stress and anguish. I'll just first mention a halacha that's derived from one of the psukim here, and then we'll begin to analyze it as we are wont to do, and then try to understand the nuts and bolts of this Perek in Tehillim. The first pasuk, Shir Amalos Mimamakim Krasicha Hashem, the Magen Avraham cites this pasuk and tells us that this is the makor for the physical structure of many Batei Knesios. There are shuls that are built in the following fashion. There are shuls that are built in the following fashion. Perhaps you've never witnessed it or encountered it, but maybe you have. I know in the city of Toronto, where I lived for 10 years, there were many shuls that were built based on this Magen Avraham. Namely, the shul more or less is a level surface, and then the moment you approach the area where the Shiach Tzibah is going to daven from, you descend. There is an inclined plane going down. What's the basis for that? This pasuk, Mimamakim Krasicha Hashem. I call to Hashem out of the depths. And therefore, the Magen Avraham says, and this is there's a basis for this, I'm not going to go into the details of that. Today, generally, this is not done. And the reason why it's not done is for a very practical reason. Sometimes people get a bit older, and they still want to be a Shiach Tzibur. And in order to, shall we say, descend down to the doldrums, to have to, more or less, the inclined plane becomes a sliding pond, or if, depending on how skilled they are in skiing and the like, so that can present a formidable challenge for someone who's a bit older, and that's the basic reason why they decided to, more or less, get away from this practice. But it's a Magen Avraham, it's based on the pasuk over here. I just had to mention that by way of Hakdama, even though that issue needs a lot of halachic discussion, but I'm interested in the Perek in Tehillim Kuf Lamed, which is a very famous Perek, and as you can see, generally, what my interest in life is to show you how every parak in Tehillim is essentially dialectic, brisk, writ large, and this is relatively obvious here, this parak, as we'll soon see. This parak, as I said, generally speaking, is utilized by people who are in a state of stress and anguish. And let's first examine the pshat in the parak, and from there we shall go on to talk about some other elements here. Mimamakim krasicha Hashem, of course, we're talking about, one could see very clearly from the very first two psukim, number one, the term mimamakim, from the depths I call to Hashem. Chazal say, you probably are familiar with it, I'm sure you are, that the ideal tefillah is tefillah mitoch imkei halev. There are many gemaras that indicate this as well, in brachas and elsewhere, that if a person wants their tefillah to be accepted, so then you have to daven literally from the depths of your heart. That's obvious. There's a well-known maxim, expression, it's actually found already in Svarim, Tefillah below Kavana, Kuguf below Neshama. Tefillah without Kavana is almost a guf without a Neshama, without a soul. So, when one wants to daven to Hashem Yisbarach, one has to daven from the depths of one's heart, and if one does so, which means one engages in what's said to be Tachnunim, or Bakosha, prayers of supplication, and the like, so then hopefully Hashem will respond to our tefillahs. I mentioned many times that we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Tefillah. Doesn't say necessarily that Hashem, shall we say, responds affirmatively to our Tefillah. Shomea! Hashem hears what we have to say, and then he decides whether he's going to answer our Tefillahs or not. And that's what we're asking over here in Pasuk Beis. Hashem, Shema V'Koli, Tiyena Ozdecha Kashuvos L'Kol Tachnunoi. Here you can see that the focus is on what? On Shmia. We ask Hashem, listen to our voice. Shema V'Koli. And by the way, that pasuk parallels the second part of the pasuk, or that first segment rather, Hashem Shema Bekodi parallels Tiyena Oznecha Kashuvos L'Kol Tachnunoi. What's the difference between segment one of pasuk Beis and segment two? The answer is two verbs, Shema Bekodi, and of course what follows next is Kashuvos and Tachnunoi. So Koli and Tachnunoi are parallel. Shema and Kashubas are also parallel. The word Koli is found both in the beginning, the first segment, Hashem Shema V'Koli, found again, L'Kol Tachanunoi. What's the distinction between these two segments? So of course the answer is fairly obvious, namely, tell me the difference between the term Shema and the term Kashubas. Let's start with that. What's the difference between Lahakshiv or Lishmoa? Two Hebrew words that are commonly used. I assume you're familiar with them. Yeah.
One just to hear, another one's to pay attention.
Exactly. The word Shema refers to hear. The word Lahakshiv is to pay attention, which means we're talking about, we're asking Hashem, means we approach Hashem. Notice there are three verbs. First, Krasicha in Pasuk Aleph. Mimamakim Krasicha, we call Hashem. Then we approach, we're approaching Hashem in a very gingerly kind of way. Gingerly means with great...
Caution.
With great caution. With great caution. Because you don't simply approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and start, shall we say, demanding this and that and the other. So first, Kruasicha, Lashon of calling Hashem. Then Shema, Hashem, please listen to my voice. Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. And then we become a bit more, shall we say, even daring. The effrontery increases. Tiena Oznecha Kashuvos L'Kol Tachanunoi. There's a distinction between Koli and Tachanunoi. Koli means my voice. Tachanunoi means, obviously, we're talking about my innermost, the depths of my heart that I want to express to Hashem, my Bakosha, and we ask Hashem, be attentive, which is a bit of a chutzpah, to ask Hashem to be attentive. I don't often go in a taxi. Very rarely. I'm not a taxi person. But once or twice I went in a taxi. In the last 22 years of my life, maybe I've been in a taxi 4 or 5 times. Am I exaggerating? Recently. But generally speaking, I don't use a taxi for all kinds of reasons. Anyway, once I'm in a taxi, and you know, they generally talk to each other. There's a guy, the taxi driver, in the hog, his name is Dudu. And he's talking to the other guy. The one in my car was not Dudu, I forgot what his name was. So he said, Dudu, Shamea! Shamea Dudu! And this goes on for 30 minutes. Yeah, it was going out of my mind. So the reason why I said that, because it reminded me of a Svarno in Parsha Chai Sarah. So I explained it to him, the taxi driver, because if you remember in Parsha Chai Sarah, you do recall, there's a dialogue between Ephron and Avraham Avinu, and the dialogue is actually divided into 3 segments. You'll look there, you'll see, because there's a refrain. Do you recall what the refrain is? In Parsha Chai Sarah? I happen to be familiar with it because it's my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. But I'm probably familiar with it anyway. Even though it's not my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, I would still be familiar with it. But if you remember that there are 3 segments, the reason why I'm telling you, for you'll see in a moment, after each segment, it says, Vayokam Avram, Vayishtachal Yamaretz Nechais. And then he starts the second segment, Vayishtachal Avram with Yamaretz. And then the third segment begins. So here there's a word, a verb that appears many times. And finally at the end, Vayishma Avram El Ephron. Before that it said, Adoni Shmaini. Before that, Achim Atalu Shmaini. The verb Shema occurs many times. I'm very sensitive to language of the text, as you will see in this Hashem, hopefully. Earlier, Shmaini Adoni Nasi Elohim Atavasachain. It's used many times. And often people speak to each other, and guess what? They're not really listening to what the other one is saying. The term Shema means we ask you to listen, we ask Hashem to listen, but here in the end of the Pasuk, Tieno, it's not the Kashubos. Obviously, we want Hashem to have an attentive ear, as you pointed out. Fine. So here we have Sukkim Aleph and Beis, which are, as I said, an attempt to engage Hashem in some sort of conversation, dialogue, that He should listen to us. First, I approach Him gingerly, krasicha, and then Shema, listen to my voice, and then it goes even a bit deeper. Let your ears be attentive to my innermost tachanunim. Okay? I continue. But there's a problem. The problem, of course, is there's something generally that prevents Hashem from listening to us. What is that? Our chatoyim. Our avonos. Our avonos have 2 functions. Number one, they are, as Rav Soloveitchik used to comment in Rav Hilchos Teshuva, an avon, a chet, does 2 things. Number one, it is melachlech the person. It pollutes you. It contaminates you. It creates zihum in modern Hebrew. And it does something else. It drives a wedge between you and Hashem. The Pasuk says, the Navi says, your sins What do? They created a distance between you and Hashem. So when a person does tshuva, you have to do two things. Number one, you have to engage in a process of cleansing, which is what tshuva is all about. And number two, you have to try to somehow bridge the gap that was created by your avonos. The one who talks about this a lot is Rabbi Yonin Shari Tshuva. I assume you're familiar with it. Kisei there, one of his favorite topics, that not only should we cleanse ourselves, but chadish shamino kikeda, we want the relationship to be restored to what it was, shall we say, in the idyllic, ideal state. So here, in Pasuk Gimel, im avonos tishmar ko, Hashem miyamo, if Hashem is going to what? Tishmar. Translate?
Guard.
What does it mean, guard over here? Im avonos tishmar ko, if Hashem is going to
hold
on to the chatoim that we did, and Hashem is going to, shall we say, just almost not willing, not show a willingness to do away with our chatoim, then we have a problem. Mi yamod, there's no way I can possibly what? Mi yamod?
Stand before you.
Three. I can't stand before you. So we would hope, ki imcha aslicha lemanti varei. Correct? There's a problem with these two, with Pasuk Dalet, specifically. There's a whole discussion among the Rishonim over here. What's the connection? Ki imcha aslicha lemanti varei. Means, ki imcha aslicha, what does Hashem do? He is soleach. And why is he soleach? Lemanti varei. In order that we should what? Should have Yirat Shamayim. What's the connection between these two segments of the Pasuk? There is a, I'll show you in a few moments, several Rishonim actually talk about this issue and try to see what the connection between these two ideas are. But it's very clear that what is happening over here. The person is approaching Hashem Yisbarach, as I said, in a very careful, cautious kind of way. He realizes that his sins are overarching and overwhelming, and because of that, he's not able to break through. That's really what creates a problematic over here. So, in effect, he is so much that Hashem Yisbarach hopefully will forgive him. Now, it's clear from these two segments that I put here as elephant bays, as you can see, that we're talking about, obviously, someone who is weighing under the enormity of sin. And the chet, obviously, is weighing heavily on him. And of course, the chiddush is that as a result of turning to Hashem, me'om bekalev, so the hope is that Hashem is baruch, of course, through this tzvila, will forgive us. That's pasuk dalet, ki imcha aslicha lemanti varei. By the way, I should mention, maybe just by way of also an introduction, I don't know why I didn't mention it. Many people have the practice of saying, actually, you know, this is one of the 15 shir amalos in Tehillim. Tehillim from Kuf Chav to Kuf Lamed Aleph, we have 15 shir amalos. The Levim used to say them, and where did they stand, the Levim? When they said, on the steps, the 15 miles between the Ezra Sisson and Ezra Noshim. That's a Gemara in Sukkah. I assume you're familiar with it. We recently had it. And this is the background for the Mizmorim that David HaMelech said. There's also a Medrash that tells us that all the 15 Shir HaMalos were said by Yaakov Avinu in the house of Laban, because he was in, shall we say, straitened circumstances over there as well. There's a Medrash like that. And I should also point out that there are those who have a custom, many people have this custom, except for those who follow Menag Yagrua. And in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, we follow Menag Yagrua. And the Beit Shemesh, we follow Menag Yagrua as well, because you know we have the same area code as Yerushalayim. Anyway, so that was a joke. I'm getting like I'm an Olshin, I have to tell you when it's a joke or when not a joke. Anyway, but those who follow the Menag Yagra, don't say it. But the Rov HaOlam says it when? The Ashkenazic world, between when and when? Yishtabach and? They say it on, when do they say this, Mizmor? Seretz Yemei Tshuva, correct. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, they say it. I'm not mistaken, did they not do so?
Why is the Gaon?
The Gaon does not say it. He's worried about a hefsek. Just like the Gaon is worried about a hefsek when? On Friday night? To say what? Bishamu. And the Gaon is worried about a hefsek on Yom Kippur night when they say? Vayidah b'Moshe. And worried about a hefsek on Yom Kippur night when they say? Kivayom azei chap elechem. And worried about a hefsek on Rosh Hashanah night when they say? Tiku b'chadu shamu b'kesem chageinu. The Gaon held over a hefsek. Okay, I can't discuss that problem right now. That's a separate issue. If you wish, I'm willing to say shir on that too. But I'm not talking about that problem now. I'm just mentioning, because this is the mizmor that is recited by 90% of the world. Correct? Are you aware of that? You know what I'm referring to. Okay, so here, this is the mizmor, which is Mimamakim Kwasicha Hashem. And as I mentioned to you, essentially, that, as I pointed out before, The Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara says that the Magen Avraham that I started with before, that you have to daven b'makom namuch, you're supposed to daven in an old place. That's the Gemara in Brachas, no? That's when the Magen Avraham says this, what I mentioned to you a moment ago. The reason is simply because the person is only makom gavoa, so what do you feel? There's a sense of ego, correct, a sense of gaiva. While you're, if in a makom namuch, we hope you don't have that. That's why, by the way, the Lashon of the Gemara in Brachas throughout Shas, when it describes the Shiach Tzibur, what does he do? Yored lifnei ateva. What's the expression of yored lifnei ateva? That's what the Magen Avraham points out. You descend. Yored lifnei ateva. The Teva referring to what? The area that he's davening from. By the way, Kriyas HaTorah is the opposite. When a person goes and reads, that's right, Ode LaTorah. Why is it Ode LaTorah? Because Kriyas HaTorah has to be from where? Me'al Bima Gvoa. Has to be from a elevated position. That's called Ola LaTorah. Mashen Kein, Shriach Tzibur, Yorid of Ne'ateva. Okay, now I just continue just on this vein. So we want Hashem to listen to our tefillos, as we say over here, and we know that a person who's not such a righteous person, Hashem is not so willing to accept his tefillos. How do we know that? Because the Gemara says in Brachas that Zevach Rishoyim To'eva. Person who's a Rasha tries to approach Hashem is Bach, you bring a carbon. Your carbon is not acceptable, and tefillah connect a carbon stick known, the Gemara in the fourth parak, a bracha, so your tefillahs won't be accepted. And we have the pasuk in Yeshayo that you're familiar with, what does it say over there? Ufarischem kapechem, alim einamikem, gam kisabu tefillah, and then shomea, yidechem dam maleo. So Hashem does not listen to tefillahs of people who, shall we say, their behavior leaves what to be desired. So that's what we're asking over here. Ima bonos tishmar ko, Hashem miyamod. And therefore, we ask Hashem Yisbarach, as you can see in the Pesukim, Ki imcho aslicha leman tivarei. We ask Hashem that obviously we want that Hashem should forgive us, and obviously He's the one who forgives, and as a result of that, leman tivarei, hopefully, as a result of that, we'll come to Yirat Shamayim, and we'll come to once again restoring our relationship with Hashem Yisbarach. Now, you're aware that Rishonim point this out. Many Rishonim speak about two different types of Yira. What is the lowest form of Yira and what is the highest form of Yira? The Rambam many, many times has this discussion, but all Rishonim have it. Good. One is Yira Sa'onesh and one is? Correct. So obviously the ideal is Yira Sa'onesh. But Yira Sa'onesh is the basic level, namely we're frightened of punishment and that's why we behave in a proper way. But that is not the ideal. The ideal, of course, is Yira Sa'onesh. What Yira is being spoken about over here? When the Pasuk says, Ki imcha slicha liman tibarei. What are we talking about? Slicha, that will bring us to, in effect, one type of yira, hopefully a second type of yira. So, exactly, I mean, the person is afraid there's going to be punished for his chatoyim. So, obviously, after Hashem forgives him, so that person may still very well be frightened because he doesn't know whether Hashem will continue to forgive him. Masha'en Kain, if there were never any concept of forgiveness in the world, then for every aver, a person will be punished. So then, the person would know that if my entire Yira Shamayim comes from Onesh, so I wouldn't have to be afraid. Because I would say to myself, it doesn't make a difference. Whatever I do, I'm a lost cause. I'm basically, as they say in Yiddish, a falorna, an yavud. As yavud, I am lost. So what's the point? I may as well just have a good time and enjoy myself, and that's what I should do. So Chazal say, in matter of fact, the Gemara has, of course, as you know, in Maseches Chagiga, the Gemara points out who actually came to that Baskana. He's also alluded to in Kedushin, namely Acher, Elisha ben Abuya. You heard a Baskol. What did Baskol say? Shuvah banim shavanim chutz me'acher. Everyone can do tshuva, with the exception of Elisha ben Abuya. He said, hey, Bazei, what's the point? Since I'm obviously not going to get Olam Haba, I may as well enjoy myself in this world, which is, generally speaking, what many people do. Most people probably do that. Why should I have a good time? Why should I simply take in all the material possessions that exist in this world and enjoy them and the like? So, if the Pasuk is talking about Yiras HaRomavus, then the Pasuk is saying that, again, that's a very high level. And when a person realizes what is happening and who Hashem Yisbarach is and what his relationship with the world is, then a person realizes the chesed and the rachim of Hashem Yisbarach, and then of course he can achieve incredibly high levels. Rabbi Olshin today, if you recall, spoke about a story that was very, he mentioned this, Rav Herling, Zegatzal Gedracha, Hashem Yom Komdamo. But there are different reactions that people have to tragedy and the like. One could be a horrific reaction, as he described, and one could be a totally different type of reaction. On the contrary, one sees actually the Yad Hashem, even though there's a lot of Midas HaDin involved. Okay, I say all this because obviously the idea is to come to the Yiras HaRamamos. There's a Ramban in Dvarim, and the Hakdama, the Ramban to Dvarim, he happens to quote this pasuk. I just have to be aware of it because I do learn Ramban Zal HaTorah quite often. Anyway, so the Ramban in Dvarim, he refers to this pasuk when he notes that at the outset of Sefer Dvarim, Hashem is chastising Klal Yisrael. He's giving us Musa. What's Sefer Dvarim? Tochacha, correct? Regarding our backsliding and rebelliousness. And he talks about what happened when we were in the desert, in the Midbar, and he goes through all the Chatoim of Klal Yisrael. Do you remember? Cheder Egel, Cheder Meraglim, and how Hashem dealt with us. He didn't deal with us harshly. He dealt with us with compassion, with rachamim, with sensitivity. Therefore, the Ramban says, we should not despair. Despite our transgressions, Hashem is a mochel v'soleach. That's what the Ramban writes here in the Hakdama, the same as Varim. And he quotes this pasuk, ki imcha aslicha lemanti bari. Hashem realizes that he had to forgive us, because otherwise, we will be, rachmanu litzlan, lost. And Hashem doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to, shall we say, move ahead. Okay, so I'll continue a bit further, because now we're just at the Hakdama of the what we're trying to talk about. Let's go on now. Next set of psukim, which is the third segment of this, as you'll see in a moment, and then you'll tell me what evolution do you see over here in the, shall we say, more or less the continuum that we find in this mizmor. Kibisi Hashem kivso nafshi v'lidvara hocholti. Now, you know, of course, there are two words here that are now describing hope. One is the word kibisi, or the word tikva, kivsa, and then there's that second word, namely hocholti. So here also you have a parallel between the two segments of the pasuk, as we had before. Before we had Shima v'koli and Kashuba v'sikol tachnunoi, and now we have kibisi Hashem kivsa nafshi lidvara hocholti. Now the word hocholti occurs again where in pasuk zayin. Yachel Yisrael Hashem. What's the difference between these two terms? Between the term tikva and the term yachel. How would you distinguish between these two terms? Which is the stronger of the two terms? The answer you should know yourself. And I'm sure you do know the answer. The word, let's take the first word, correct? The word tikva. What does tikva mean?
Hope.
You're familiar with the pasuk. The Gemara says in Brachas that tefillah requires chizuk. How do we know that? Among the things that require chizuk, one of them is tefillah, because it's kaveh al Hashem, chazak, v'yam simecha, v'kaveh al Hashem. The word kaveh means what? To hope to Hashem. So the word tikva generally refers to something that's going to be in the future, right? A person hopes that X is going to happen, a person hopes that I'll be paid my salary on time, or I'll get a salary b'chlal, correct? Means we're talking about something that you hope that it's going to happen. So here, David HaMelech says, Kivisi Hashem, kivisa nafshi. The word tikva, actually, by the way, the word tikva is also related to the word kav. He spoke about it, but it's spelled differently than the one he talked about, the gentleman from the Red Headed League. I'm just saying that the word kav is spelled with a vav. He was talking about rav kav with a bet. I'm talking about kav with a vav. Like you have a pasuk in Rachav Azon and Yeshua Perek Beis, es tikva schut ashoni azeh. You recall that story with Rachav? And the issue was, how will Yeshua know to save her? What was she supposed to do? Correct? That's the pasuk says. Tikvas chut ashoni. The word kav, what does kav mean? Kav is a line. So David HaMelech wants to create some sort of a line between himself and who? And Hashem is Barak, a line that will be hopefully a continuous kind of line. But the reason I'm saying all this is simply because the word kivisi is one kind of hope, but then the word Hocholti is what? Yachel Yisrael Hashem. Look in Zayin. What does it mean, Yachel Yisrael Hashem? What does it sound like, Yachel Yisrael Hashem? A much stronger kind of hope, where we are hoping that Hashem will bring us Yeshua. Correct? And how do I know that that's correct? Because take a look at the language that's used over here. Here it says, Kivisi Hashem Kipsa Nafshi. And it says also in Pasuk Vav, Nafshi Hashem Shom Laboker, Shom Laboker. This is, of course, a play on the word. Shomim laboker, shomim laboker. What are we talking about? The way the Mefarshim explained, namely someone who's a night watchman. Correct? He's waiting for the morning to come. waiting for his watch to end. Rashi quotes the Chumash, the Aviv Shomer Sadova, remember that pasuk? With the reference to the Chalomos of Yosef, his father, says Rashi, Mamtin Umitzape Masa Yava, who's waiting to see, are the Chalomos of Yosef going to come to fruition? Will they come to realization? Will they be realized? So he is the Shomer at night time, and he basically, as many Shomerim who are working throughout the night, is waiting till his guard duty will be over. And so David HaMelech said the same thing. Namely, Nafshi Lashem Shomim Laboker, Shomim Laboker. And the way the Mefarshim explained over here. But then we continue, because that's not sufficient, that I'm just simply hoping to Hashem. It's much more you want what Hashem should do, should obviously save us. And that's what Pasuk Zion says. Yachel Yisrael Hashem, ki im Hashem HaChesed, v'yabei imo fidus. We expect that Hashem will give us Yeshua. What is the word fidus related to? Pidyon. What does Pidyon mean?
Redeem.
The redemption. I'll be, let's say, I'm incarcerated. Pidyon Maisesheni, or whatever other kind of Pidyon that we are describing. And that's essentially Pidyon Bechor, all the types of Pidyon that Mepharshim bring down over here. And at the end, Pasuk Ches, Vu Yivdes Yisrael, Mikol Avodosav. And Hashem will not just forgive us, correct? What will Hashem do? Yifdes Yisrael, Mikol Avodosav. He'll redeem us from all our sins. The who, again, is a very significant reference, of course, to Hashem Yisbarach. So now I just want to show you a few things in the Mizmor that I assume you're probably aware of, since we say this Mizmor quite often. What's happened over here? Basically, there is an evolution in the Mizmor, an evolution that's taking place, and that's what I want to point out to you. Initially, the individual is pleading for mercy, pleading for Hashem to hear his case. He wants recognition on the part of Hashem. He knows that his averes can thwart the process of tefillah, the process of tshuva, as I mentioned earlier, and already that's the beginning. And now we go on to Pasuk K, and here it becomes a bit more optimistic. Here he's no longer pleading, no longer engaged in supplication. Till now, basically, as I said, it's mimamakim, kruasicha, azdecha kashuvos, lekol tachnunoi. Now there's lashon of tikva, a lashon of yachel. I'm waiting for Hashem. Here, of course, now Hashem is going to provide me with chesed, habeim ofedus. Because before the avonos, there was what? There was a blockage. And now Hashem is cleansing and redeeming Klal Yisrael from all of its avonos. You see what I'm saying? There's a clear evolution that's taking place over here from someone who's a supplicant and who is gingerly approaching Hashem with great caution, as I said, and little by little he becomes more optimistic as he feels that Hashem is Barak will respond to him, and hopefully at the end, of course, he'll be zonchet to what? To Yeshua, to Pidyon, to Pidus, and the like. So, this is just, I'm noting to you, the reason why I began is that it seems to me that here you have a Mizmor that's divided into, I'll call it, two segments. The right-hand side, which is Aleph and Beis over here, the first four psukim, and then the other side. So essentially, what is Aleph to Dalet? What do you have over here? The approach to Hashem Yisbarach. I'm approaching Hashem Yisbarach. Again, as I said, notice here. How do I speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In what person? Second person. Guf Sheni. Kruasicha. Oznecha. Imcha Aslicha. Leman Tivarei. All second person. In general, in Tanakh, and especially in Tehillim, when the second person is used, that reflects what? What does that reflect? A heartfelt, personal longing to connect to Hashem Yisbarach, to be dovuk in Hashem Yisbarach. It's a personal flea. It reflects this very intimate kind of kesher that a person has with Hashem. However, in the second segment, that starts in Chelek Gimel and Dalet, Psukim Hei, Vav, and Zayin, what person is being used now? No longer Guf Sheni, but rather, don't answer all at once, Guf Shlishi, the third person. You know what I'm saying? Namely, take a look. Kibisi Hashem, he's speaking about Hashem. Lidvaro, his word, Ocholti. Nafshi Hashem, Yachel Yisrael Hashem. Behu Yifdes Yisrael. Harbe Imo Fedus. Kiim Hashem Achesed. So, in effect, I would say these two segments reflect a dialectic. The first four psukim is the imminence of the Almighty. Maze imminence, his closeness, his proximity, his connectivity, his ionic bonding with me. And usually when a person actually comes to that recognition, then he realizes, Lifnei mi ata omed, before whom I am standing. And then suddenly, this of course reflects the Rambam, the Hilchos Yesod HaTorah that you're familiar with. Namely, a person first sees the world and all its beauty. He sees with this wonderful Avas Hashem. Wow. Ribono Shel Olam. Wow. But then, at that moment, he realizes, who am I but a little cipher, a speck of dust in the cosmos, which of course is absolutely massive. Hashem is ubiquitous and omnipotent and omniscient. And who am I? I am a Lilliputian man, at best. And so then suddenly, of course, he retreats and recoils. And that's the second segment that's found over here, where you see the transcendence of Hashem is Barach. And you have three dinim over here. The first four psukim reflect the sense of closeness and ava and the light. And now we are contrasting that with the second set of psukim, which of course represent sense of distance between Hashem Yisbarach and the light. Now I just want to mention to you something which always is, if you don't mind, arouses my pique and my fancy, and I'm very into this, as you probably know me a little bit, and that is, you'll examine carefully the shemos of Hashem Yisbarach that are used in this mizmor. You notice there are a number of shemos of Hashem Yisbarach. Just to show you the parallel, how many times is the Shem Hashem found in the segment number one, in the, what I call Aleph and Bet, the first four psukim? So notice in Pasuk Aleph it's found one time, Yud Kei Vav Kei. In Pasuk Beis it's found
one
time, Aleph Dal Nun Yud. Next, in Pasuk Gimel it's found
twice.
The Shem Yud Kei, which requires separate discussion. And again, the Shem Val Dal Nun Yud. And then finally, the fourth Pasuk, how many times is this found?
Zero.
So the order is 1-1-2-0. Now take a look at the second segment. In Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey, how many times the Shem Hashem is found? One time. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Next, Pasuk Vav. One time. 1-1. Pasuk Zayin. Twice. Pasuk Ches. Zero. So that shows there's a parallel here between the two segments. That's how I operate. That's how I examine the Mizmor and Tehillim and Tanakh in general. And there's a very significant parallel in terms of the Shemus of Hashem that are being used, but you see exactly, as I pointed out to you a moment ago, the distinction between, you see, between the two, the second person and the third person, the different Shemus of Hashem, the what I call immanence versus transcendence, and this is exactly what this Mizmor is all about. This Mizmor represents what I call, if you will, Avas Hashem on the right-hand column, Yiras Hashem on the other column, means second person versus third person, which is very common in Tehillim. Very, very common to see the transition from one to the other. Now, I have a lot more to say, and there's a problem, because I only have 10 more minutes, which is a massive issue. So now I will just maybe refer you to some of the pages that you have in front of you. I just want to maybe share a little bit of that with you, so you can have some sense. Take a look at the Radak and Tehillim. Radak is a fabulous Perush HaTehillim. He doesn't need my Askama, but he has a fabulous Perush HaTehillim. There's several Perushim HaTehillim that I'm very fond of. In general, I'm very fond of the Radak. The Radak on Tanakh, to me, is like the blank on Chumash. Ramban on Chumash. Because the Radak deals with conceptual issues, not just Pshat. The Ramban also deals with conceptual issues. So here the Radak has a number of comments that I think are fascinating. First of all, he understands the Psukim as referring to Golos. Take a look at Aleph. Shira Amal Zvi Mamakim, Dima HaGolos Mamakim Ayim. You know what Golos is like? The exile. It's like being in the, shall we say?
Doldrums.
Correct, in the doldrums. Thank you. The Radak continues that Pasuk Gimel, in Mavonos, Mi Amon, we would have been lost. However, Ki Imcho Aslicha, Leman Tivarein. And the Radak here quotes from his father, which he's very well to do, Rabbi Yisrael Kimchi. His name is Abdovi Kimchi. It's all Kimchi family. You're familiar with that? There are many generations of Kimchis. There's actually a Kimchi in Efrat.
Oh, that's
he is a wonderful, outstanding Menahel.
That's the school I went to.
You went to that school, so you know Rabbi Kimchi. He and I, and Rabbi Teller, and about three or four others used to go to Rabbi Nemetzol Shiurim many, many years ago already. I went for 8 years straight on Monday nights between 10, 13, and 11. There were about five people this year in the massive Beis Medrash in Shivat HaKotel. There were five of us, and Rabbi Kimchi is one of them. He's very close to Rabbi Nemetzol, and he's an outstanding person. He has a brother who's a Rav in London. You're probably familiar. Maybe you met him. I recently met him at a chasen over here. I was out of Kedushin. Anyway, but to make a long story short, Kimchi family, they're connected to the Kimchis. They trace themselves to the Kimchis all the way back. Anyway, so the Rav Radaki quotes his father, and he writes the following: Bir Shadoni Yovizal Pasuk Dalet Hakel Yisrach Nasim Nemshalo LeElyonim Lasos Chetzo Baretz. He gave dominion to those over there in the heavenly province to do whatever they wish. Avol Aslicha Ini Moem. But rather, there's one person who has the Mafteach Veslicha, even though they are, shall we say, heavenly bodies that have all kinds of kochos. But who is in charge of Slicha? Hashem is Barach. And that's very significant. Otherwise, people will say, I have to have recourse to malachim and to angels, and I have to, shall we say, have recourse to all kinds of sgulos. I'm adding that in, if you don't mind. And I have to have recourse to who knows what, all types of necromancy, in order to achieve any kind of tshuva, chas v'sholom. It's Ribbono Shalom himself. Okay, I continue. And he writes for them, just more or less in Pasuk Vav, Nashil Hashem Yishom Laboker, that they are waiting for Hashem Yisbarach. Was it Amizmor Mamar? He says, again, refers to Golos, the Golos experience. People in Golos are in a terrible, terrible state. By the way, you know the most dreaded punishment in Chumash is what punishment? Golos. In which parashas is this idea expressed very clearly and very unequivocally? Where? It is found in the Shema, that's correct. What does it say there? You are 1,000% right. Except there are 6 other parashas at least that's also found, probably even more explicitly than the Shema. Good, namely, that's number one. Number two, where is it found? I can't hear. In the Tochach, of course, no question about it. Very clearly, in the Tochach, both of them. Both in Parashat Bechukosai, number two, and number three, in Kisava. Next, number four, number five, let's continue on our merry way. Parshas Acharimos and Kedoshim. The end of Acharimos, the end of Kedoshim. We must learn Chumash. We must. V'lo soki ha'aretz eschem b'tamachim o'so ha'kasher ko'as ha'goy ha'shel ebneichem. Ha'meisha, do you recall? Hashem says, we will be spewed forth from Eretz Yisrael. The way the Eretz Yisrael spewed forth its non-Jewish inhabitants, it will do the same to us if we commit the same kind of crimes that they commit. If we behave the way people behave in many great countries in the world, so then that will happen to us as well, and a few other places. Anyway, at the end, in Pasuk Ches, who Yifteh Yisrael? What does Yifteh mean? From Golos. That's how he learns. So he learns a different pshat, that the whole thing refers to not someone who is, shall we say, wallowing in the muck and mire of Chet, but rather wallowing in Golos. That's how the Radak understands the Pesukim. It's very interesting that if you take a look now at the, I don't have any time, and that's really a big problem. There is a very famous comment of Moron HaRav Kook, the Ratzal Gebroch. Rav Kook was the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel, a going beyond belief, beyond belief. And he writes about two different types of tshuva. See here in Perek Beis, this is taken from Marot HaTshuva, HaRav Kook. I have some familiarity with that sefer as well, if you don't mind. Many have tried to compare and contrast Rav Soloveitchik with Rav Kook. There are a lot of areas of commonality, and there also are differences between the two. Anyway, here, let me just read you part of this, and you see what I'm going to do. He writes, Tshuva pitomit to tshuva dragatit. Translate? Sudden tshuva as opposed to?
Systematic.
Right. A systematic, more, if you will,
gradual
kind of tshuva. The marshal I always give is my favorite marshal. One is, how do you get down to the other side, to the goal? Two ways, either by first downs. And how do you get down? You basically, what's the term that they use in football?
Methodically.
But what's the term? You grind out the yardage. Thank you very much. That's the Lushin. I have a Kabbalah, that's the Lushin. You grind out the yardage. And first down here, first down there. You lose fullback, a feint, a block, adin, nahel, gotcha business, etc. Until you finally get down there. That's not so simple. It's almost like the tortoise and the hare, if you will. Or you can throw an 80-yard. Correct, 80-yard. I don't use such lashonis. But anyway, 80-yard touchdown pass, which most of the time is deflected, intercepted, overthrown, underthrown. What's not? Anything else? Did I miss anything?
Nope.
And once in a while, it's caught. 20% of the time. But that's already, wow, exciting, dramatic. And the other one is grinding out the yardage. That's why people have difficulty becoming even a tailor. Because they think they're going to become B'nai Torah, how? Through 80-yard touchdown passes. Namely, they're going to hear Ab Chaim go into a state of Fantasia.
Seventh heaven,
thank you. And guess what? From then on, it's going to be all Shangri-La. They're going to have touchdown passes all day and all night. They want to be inspired. Rabbi, inspire me. I'm not motivated. I'm bored to tears. Who has any interest in learning this? It's the same thing all day I do. I read these funny words. Who cares? I want to be inspired. Inspire me, Rabbi. So there's inspiration. Certainly has its place. So what do you do? You go to our Kalbach Minyan. You get inspired. You go jump up like a bunch of those yo-yos with the jumping jacks. You're inspired. How long could you jump like jumping jacks? At the end of the day, you have to grind out the yardage. It's called inspiration versus perspiration. It's in the Sefer. I hope the publish will be. Anyway, B'kitzer, I think it's inspiration of Shmos, if I'm mistaken. But anyway, so he says that two types of tshuva. Let's read it quickly. I only have 2 minutes left. Ha-pitomid ba-mitoch ezebarak uchani ha-nichnas ma-nishama. This person suddenly gets what? Wow, you see the light. Suddenly. Pa-machad makiru torah v'takiru shalachet v'nepach li-shacher. Overnight you become a different person. It does happen. People sometimes do have these, what do they call them?
Epiphanies.
Thank you, that's the word I was looking for. And suddenly you change. But then, there's the next type of tshuva, which is probably the more likely one to remain. The first one usually, shall we say, how long does it last? As long as the jumping jack is popping up and down. But how long can you pop up and down?
As long as the attention
is there. What? Now, it's true, I grew up actually with people who had elastics in their legs. But I used to play basketball with them. But I'm just saying, but even these jumping jacks, these white jumping jacks that they had, you know, chassidim, certain types of chassidim, won't mention their names. With the, exactly, with all the, that's that. And they go over there. And Rosh Hashanah, God's fine. But how much can you jump up and down? So the other type of tshuva is a more gradual process. And guess what? That tshuva sticks to your ribs. That tshuva, in effect, becomes part of your very ethos, your very nature. That's the second type of tshuva. So, and that's what he speaks about here, two types of tshuva. Why am I mentioning this? Because in Lefi Anu Zayit, the Yesh Makom, to say that these two segments here refer to two different approaches to Hashem Yisbarach. One approach is what I call the gradual kind of approach, which is the Aleph and Beis, Mima Makim, Shimba Bakoli, Kashuas Kol Tachnunoi. The other approach, somehow you expect Hashem is just going to respond to your tefillos and everything will be honky dory, Shangri La, outstanding. At the end of the day, you need both. But what's ultimately more important? Perspiration. Inspiration, 10% of the time. Perspiration is 90% of the time. Amelus Batera, correct, that's the Yisod. Okay, I was going to really present something else here, but the clock, Hasha'on Mitaktek. And so I'll just leave it at that, and just end with one comment, and that is, as I said, you need both, undoubtedly, but at the end of the day, tefillah is critical. A person who wants to come close to Hashem Yisbarach ultimately has to really cultivate and nurture the art of tefillah. And essentially, if you do that, and combine it, of course, with Talmud Torah, obviously, then you, of course, are the ideal personality, and you undoubtedly will achieve heights that no one could possibly, shall we say, reach.
Maybe there are doctors saying when we're in Golos.